Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ, his Son, our Lord. Amen. Would the congregation please arise as we read the sermon text taken from Gospel according to St. Luke from chapter 18, and reading from verse 35 to the end of the chapter. The words are in Jesus' name. And it came to pass that, as he was come near unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside, begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him, Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And they who went ahead rebuked him, and he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave a praise unto God. Father, these are thy words. Sanctify us in thy truth. Thy word is truth. Amen. You may be seated. At this time in the life of Jesus, a short period of his ministry started more or less from Nazareth and then ended up in Jerusalem, where he died outside of the gates and the walls of that holy city, bearing our sins. We are also called to go outside, where we meet Jesus and the testimony of God, where there is forgiveness. He came for sinners, sinners that cannot save themselves, cannot even waken themselves to know how blind and poor they are. He came for us. His ministry in the Northern Galilee had come to an end. We read also of this in the Gospel of Luke, in part of chapter 9. And as he goes through the land, he preaches and he teaches the words of life. Now he's already crossing Jericho, the low plateau where River Jordan runs to the Dead Sea. It is not too far where John the Baptist was baptizing sinners, also for the forgiveness. Otherwise, the sins just don't evaporate. They are taken and they are placed someplace. And a place where they are placed on the shoulders of the Lamb of God. John the Baptist pointed to Jesus. He takes away the sin of the world. This Jesus also baptized with his disciples, not himself, but his disciples did. It is connected with forgiveness of sins. And where there is forgiveness of sins, there also is a light that shines brighter than day. God is light, and in him we see light. Outside of this, we have a natural existence in which we achieve much and know much. But the greatest thing in human life is that he comes to know God and forgiveness of sins. But we don't long for forgiveness of sins unless we are afflicted with it and come to know its pain and its judgment. This is the misery of us human beings, that we are religious, and a human being in natural state is actually an idol worshiper. Human heart, I believe it was Calvin who said, human heart is a factory of idolatry. When Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, when he's before that event, how he spake the hard words of his, to his followers. Many of his disciples left him. Those that were his followers, they had an idea what lies ahead. They had a dream. They were not prepared to die. Jesus takes us the way of death, that we may find life. Death to our own achievements, understandings, and reasonings. And this is strong fortification that we have put against God. Where word of God is given to us, we kind of think we are judges of it. We take parts that we like, and the parts we don't, we put behind our back, and we go on worshiping our idols. But there's a difference. Long time before this event, Joshua went there with Israelites, and they conquered that city. Not with arms later on, but first, simply walking around it in quietness, and on my part, I like to see it as a praying congregation. Praying people, armed with God's truth and guidance. Jesus, the mighty one who came to conquer sin, death, and the devil, walks in that territory which was marked by the footsteps of those that were led earlier by God. And there he finds a man by the roadside, in dire need. My friend, Christian friend, not everyone calls upon the name of the Lord. We go about our business as usual. We are the people that call upon his name in a daily life. Those that fight the devil in their own flesh, because in my flesh dwelleth no good thing, said Apostle Paul. Otherwise, he's a dual personality. The old man is still there and wants to conquer and win and lead astray. But the new man that grows daily, walking with Jesus and edified by the word of truth, grows and conquers because it is stronger. But it doesn't conquer by will, understanding of man, it conquers by the blood and by the name of Jesus. He is the strong one. Even when he died, He conquered the enemy. So we come to a small group of people in essence, and it will be so to the end of the world. We come to those that are awakened. The first steps to church are not easy, providing they have not gone to church after being baptized and Sunday school and whatever problems we may have. It is a small group that dares to come to church, because that is the only hope. They have come to the end of their own achievements, and maybe they think even coming to church that there will be help. But may I say, in modern times, the way church has become an apostate in many localities, not the Church of Christ, but local churches, where we take preachers and teachers according to our itching ears. Or we want certain type of people in congregation and achievements which will draw us to this success. But where are the people that are awakened with the knowledge of their sin? I would speak of myself, but this is not time for it. We do our dancing and hopping, but may you come to a place that even if you are sitting behind someone that blocks the view to see the pastor, the cross is uplifted high enough that we understand that is where our life is. In midst of death, gives life. For where there is forgiveness, there is also kingdom of God. This man cries. You may say to him, help yourself. Or to hear the cries of the nearby passerbys and observers, hush, be quiet. No. His pain is big enough to overcome his respect of people and their comfort level. I have mentioned this several places, maybe here also years gone by, but I read a testimony of a man. There's a Presbyterian church close to New York Harbor, close to the water edge, if I remember reading it right, that there was a pause in the service, and this man stood up. That's not very political. That's not very much in bulletin. But he stood up. I don't know the size of the church, maybe smaller than ours. But he says, pray for me. I have a small boy. When I was small, my father abused me. I don't know what that word meant. Was it physical, harsh, hard-handedness, or something else? But he said, when I was young, my father abused me, and I am so afraid that I do that to my own son. That takes me to think he simply was a hard father, not knowing any better. We read oftentimes, hurt people hurt people. But when we are awakened, we cry. And when we go a step further, when Jesus calls us to himself, what is it that you want? What does a congregation of Christian people give to a needy person? Oh, pray to God. There are many of us wake to this fact that even amongst us there are hurting people, but they are afraid to come to light because it is not proper in their opinion. But no place is church more glorified and spirits uplifted by those that walk with Jesus than to hear these needs and to be able to come to help, because we comfort with comfort we have received. What have we received to our need? Has Jesus told us, make yourself better? Has Christianity become achievement orientated? Identity, identity, entity. No. We respond because he has accepted us as we are. He has come to our help. And when he healed people, when he forgave people, it was all taken from him, that we may live. And this man, having received his sight, we may say he had his history, blindness, awakening. He had heard about Jesus. And now, it is a moment in which God draws near. And in human life, even in nation life, there are moments where God draws near. Today, if you hear his voice, and that's where the devil comes in. Wait, what do they think? Oh, in that state, if I could but hear the Christians say, speak up, speak up. We are here. We know what it is all about. We are not here to condemn, but we are here to help. And what happens to this man? It is like a reflection when a certain sin burden is alleviated. It is paid for. What is a joy of a Christian? What draws Christians together? It is more than outward. It is acknowledging the Lord in midst of us, the friend of sinners. For those that are well need no physician, but those that are sick. But I don't know my sickness because I relate that to my body, the things that go well with me. But God draws us to that inner being where we are actually enemies of God. And he wakens us to understand it. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. Your ways are not my ways. Look, what is your neighbor to you? We live. I asked my friend, a Christian friend this morning, that you pray that Arvo would have a short sermon. And he said, I pray you want me to stand up and say enough. But I'm coming to a close. It is important in our life that I know my need. That reality that is in me, where God's light shines on it, and at that point I am done making myself better. I am what I am. Lord, have mercy. And that's what the cross is all about. God has not dealt with us according to our sins. And he's not dealing with us according to our sins. Listen, we have a place where we can go. When an enemy is hot pursuit on your heels, we have a place of safety, and that is the blood of Jesus. And that's what church uplifts. Look to him. He never fails. For no one who comes to him is cast away. No one. Should I then milk my brother and sister out of their livelihood? Should I then speak evil of them when they fail? Should I see a little bit more why they fail? Have you failed? If you have failed and obtained mercy, why then have a double standard? Reach. If it is annoyance to you, overcome that by faith. Pray for that person. And that's where it also comes in a Christian circles. Rebuke. But may be done in the spirit of Jesus, for I am also flesh. We need to walk together, but there is this barb that hurts like a little glass sliver in a finger. It is there and reminds you, you are flesh. Our joy is what this man obtained. Joy in God's salvation, his presence, his acceptance. And I leave it at that. May it be so with you. Rejoice in the Lord forevermore. He is your friend. A friend that sticks closer than a brother, I understand. In his name, amen. Simply come to this area. I do this only.